When we give the bracha to our girls, right? Some of us are more familiar with that than the boys. It's an interesting bracha. Yeah, kisara rifka racha v'leia. Makes a lot of sense. The imos. Then you turn to your boys. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Yosef. It's like, you know, Baruch, it's not even anyone that's in the Shvizen, you know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, it's Ephraim and Asher. So you have to admit, especially when you contrast those two together, it's very strange. What is the pshat, Ephraim and Asher? Of course, that's the pasuk in Sixth Parsha. Vayivarech v'yom mahu leimor, b'cha yivarech Yisrael. Leimor. Yisimcha lakim Ephraim and Asher. So a few questions on the pasuk that are going to open up windows into what we're going to talk about. And we're going on a tour of Mefarshim tonight. Yaakov Avinu gives him a bracha b'yom ahu. B'yom ahu is the first interesting part of the pasuk. Of course it was b'yom ahu. Would it have been a different day? So b'yom ahu is definitely noteworthy. What's b'yom ahu supposed to mean? And then leimor is to say. Meaning this is the text. You're going to be using this text in the future. Which of course we still do. B'zman hazeh. Yisum elokim kefraim v'mashet. We'll talk about v'yidgu l'rov, you know. So, by the way, I got out of my van this morning in the parking lot at YU, and I was, going to go to Yeshiva, and I look across at another spot, and there's this man that I recognize getting out of a car. It's Rabbi Hanuch Teller. What are you doing here? So I got to walk with him to Yeshiva. I said, maybe that's like for me to say to my shir. He says, probably.
No.
But he said, I'll give you a question. Next time, I see you, maybe I'll give you the answer. What?
How many adjectives did
you
use?
It was very cute, right? Everybody knows him so well. Mm-hmm. So he says to me, it says in the pasuk, V'yid gula roiv bekerev ha'aretz, that you should multiply like fish in the midst of the land. Last time I checked, fish don't do so well in the midst of the land. How are you going to multiply like fish in the midst of the land?
Fish are doing great here.
Oh, okay. It's not multiplying. It seems to be disappearing rather quickly. Anyway, so that's Yid Gilaroy. But, B'cha Yivarech Yisrael, so Leimor is what we're going to say. B'cha. B'cha is difficult, because what does it mean, B'cha Yivarech Yisrael? Who's B'cha?
In you, B'cha.
So who's he talking to? Who's Yaakov talking to? Ephraim and Manasseh, right?
B'cha
is singular. You mean B'chem? Maybe he means he's talking to Yosef. Yosef was there. Maybe it's Yosef. So we'll talk about that. So we have, what's B'yom Ahu? We have, who is B'cha? And then it's also
why Ephraim and Manasseh?
Why Ephraim and Manasseh? We have to ask, right? That's obvious. That's how we started. And it's also interesting, Ki Ephraim v'chi Manasseh. It's also interesting. I think if we were writing the pasuk, we would have said, Yisimcha l'kim Ki Ephraim u'Manasseh. There's a chaf here that's added, and also like Menashe, the chaf seems to be distinguishing between the two of them. That's another question. What's the significance of Ephraim being first? Is there nafkamina even bizman hazeh? What is the nafkamina of this? Is it a historical nafkamina? And why do we give this bracha on Leil Shabbos? Is there a specific time to say it? Anytime you want to give a bracha to your kids, you should say it. What's the timing? So you have everything I have. In front of you have everything that I have. So we're just going to go through it together. You have my questions, some of the commentary, and of course, all of them are farshim too.
Well, 6 pages.
Yeah, everything's here. So let's, when we get to the end, I think you'll see something very, very interesting. So who is Becha? Is Becha addressed to Yosef or is it not? So you have the Ramban saying, Bepashtus, U'becha Yivarech Yisrael, is Yaakovinu is talking to Yosef. And he's saying Yosef, and in fact, if you go a little bit earlier in the Psukim, you have this as well, where it says that Yaakov says, Vayivarech es Yosef, Torah says, Vayivarech es Yosef, Leimor, that he branches Yosef saying, and that's where you have the Amalach HaGolosi, that apparently was to Yosef, even though there's absolutely no mention of Yosef, it's only the children. So again, this follows on that. The Ramban saying, kipshuto, that's definitely what it's talking about. El Yosef yidaber. However, and you see this in the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, "Vivarech es Yosef, birchas abanim, hi birchas av." Makes a lot of sense. If you bless somebody's children, you're blessing the father. If Nasa Moshe was here, we could talk about Mishmeres, and like, you know, we could minimize them. You know, if you're blessing the children, obviously you're blessing the father.
But they didn't say that by the women.
It's about 6 or 7 years.
What do you mean?
No, but it's fun. In other words, it wasn't like Yisrael or Pink.
I push people.
Dina or Yisrael.
Really? That's it?
Well, but the question would be, like, right, you don't see it in that. You don't see it in there. You see it because here it's the children that are being blessed in front of the father. So you see that the father is getting benched because the children are getting benched. When you mention the Emmaus, you don't see it that way. You don't see it. It definitely is. It's interesting for a few reasons. It's interesting because Yaakov Avinu has an agenda that, I don't mean that in a negative way, but that an agenda that Yosef's children should be Shvatim. So it's interesting how this is tying back into that. I find it super fascinating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they're supposed to be Shvatim in Klal Yisrael. There's not just one type of Jew. There are Shvatim. But nonetheless, all of those Shvatim are going to bench their children to be like Ephraim and Menashe? It's very interesting. Okay, whatever we make of that, it's very interesting.
That's partially because they grew up in an environment that was full of Avodah Zarah, yet they kept they're supposed to. So the bracha is, if you find yourself in an environment that is not halachically inclined, should be have a bracha.
100%. So when we talk about why them, that's definitely on the forefront. Is that what's unique to them? But before we get to that, so in terms of the bracha, isolating the bracha,
this world.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see some other nuances too. So the Al-Sheikh here has a totally different angle on it. The hand thing is over, right? The hand thing ended. And now Yaakov has another bracha. He's simply looking at Ephraim Honashe. So he points out that the whole hand thing seems to be over. Why? Because the hands are a distinction between Ephraim and Menashe. He's the Bechor, he's not the Bechor, they're a different plate. I'm crossing my hands. That's that they're different. Here, Yaakov wants to unify them. So that's what the Al-Sheikh says. The Bukha is not Yosef. The Bukha is them, Ephraim and Menashe, because they're unified now. Before we were distinguishing, now we want to unify them, Ephraim and Menashe together. He's Lohaya Lo Yamin Velus. Adarabba, Yichidim. He's trying to put them together. Lomar Bukha, Kiilu Shneim Echad, like they're both one. And then he claims, that the fact that he even put Ephraim before Menashe in this particular bracha was totally Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. This was not his choice. He did mean to put his hand on Ephraim. But here, he means to unify them and not make these distinctions. So, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ephraim comes before Menashe, and it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Ephraim before Menashe. That's what he writes over here. Ki ein ze bebechiras Yaakov. So that's also very, very interesting.
Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make sense?
Yeah, so there's like a goal specifically in this particular bracha for Ephraim to come first, even though that wasn't necessarily the intention of Yaakov Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, that's how this bracha has to come across. And we'll see a lot of meanings behind that. Next. Why is Ephraim coming before Menashe? So Rashi comments on the span that you do see. So first Rashi says, Habo levarech espanav. Rashi doesn't mention any specific time of year. He just says, when you want to give a bracha to your children, so then this is the bracha that you're supposed to give. The Mefarshim on Rashi say, there's no mitzvah here. If you want, whenever you want. You know, there's no particular. That's what they learn in Rashi's Habo. But at the end of Rashi, we're going to see this in some other places. But Yasem es Ephraim bevirchaso lifnei Menashe lahakdimo badigalim bechanukas hanesiyim. The digalim were the way that they camped and perhaps also traveled in the midbar and also in the chanukas hanesiyim. So if you remember from Hanukkah, you have all of the nesiyim bringing karbanos, and you have Ephraim and Menashe in that order. Ephraim brings his karban before Menashe brings his karban. Vidasa Kainim Ibali Toysois adds on to this. The aim of Sai Niskaima Birchasa, when is his bracha fulfilled? In the Chanukah San Nisim, She Ephraim Hikriv Biom Shvi. Again, Ephraim's was the seventh day. And Menashe on the eighth. Okay, interesting. But that was in that order. Here, next, you have Yom Hamila. The Targum Yoinasan says, when do you give this bracha? He says, it's underlined, Yas Yanuka Viyuma Dimehulta. That when Yaakov Avinu said this, apparently he had in mind that this should be the bracha that was given on the day of the Bris Milah. Okay, why should that be? And this actually goes back to the Medrash. The Medrash says, "V'varachem b'yom ahu le'mor b'cha yivarach Yisrael le'mor le'doro." So this should be for all generations. Yisimcha l'kim kefrayim v'chim menashe. V'heichem atzino she'yisrael misbarachem me'inyan hazeh. When do you find such a bracha? Yisimcha l'kim kefrayim menashe b'mila. It's not in our scroll. It's not. It's not in our minig. We don't do this. We don't. Well, I don't know when we say amal, even out of breast. But even the simcha l'kim kefrayim menashe, we do not say. That we do say. But then, Yehi ach l'shiva, gam l'shmona, that there should be a brother to seven and also to eight, that we don't say. But the Medrash says, Elu Ephraim u'menashe, she'ekrivu korban nesiyam b'shvi u'bishmini. So if you find that a bris mila, or any of the zmiros of a bris mila, anything, you find a reference to the brothers or something like that of seven and eight, that's what it's a reference to. It's a reference to Ephraim and Menashe, because the korbanos were on the seventh and the eighth. Interesting. Another Medrash says that the goal of all of this, klomar yehe shaveh v'shakul, that they should be equal, they should be equated. Ephraim sheikir v'yom ha'shvi l'nesiyas l'nesiyim l'amyukas ha'mizbeah, that all of the goal of all of this is to show that Ephraim and Menashe, they are equal. They are equal. See in what way exactly as we go on. The Rivivan points out, I just underlined it, the minig anshe mizrach loymar thing. Apparently, I don't know, any Sfaradim here? I don't know, there apparently are still places or were places where they did this. And they actually, they gave this bracha at the bris mila. The Hadar Zakenim writes that you should know that this is actually perhaps hinted to in a pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk in Koheles says, Tein chelek l'shiva v'gam l'shmoina. If you have a portion, you have tzaka to give, you have food to give, you have a portion to give, so you should give a portion to seven or even eight people. Why seven? Why eight? Ki lo seida ma'iyya ro'al aretz. You never know what's going to be. So you should make sure to distribute and to help seven or eight. Why seven
five
or eight?
Five or six.
Exactly. So he says that's a remez to this idea, again, of somehow Ephraim and Menashe, why that should connect to here, I don't know. But that's what he's saying, that there's a seven and eight, also a reference to Ephraim and Menashe.
These are lucky numbers in Judaism?
Of course. They definitely are lucky numbers in Judaism, seven and eight.
Seven and eight are considered.
And at the bris mila, of course, is eight. And you know, seven has some significance. Okay, so now this is unbelievable. Get ready. So,
glasses on.
You may ask, do you know how this goes? You pull the strap. Yeah, buckle your seatbelt. So, what's going on with Yom HaMilah? Why should it be the Yom HaMilah? What's that all about? So, take a look at this. It's unbelievable. The Netziv has a Peirush Techumash, and he has footnotes. His footnotes are called the Harchev Davar. So, this is on page 3. The Harchev Davar says, Behinei, Targum Yonasan, Isa al Zeha Mikra, it says in Targum Yonasan on this pasuk, Shebishas Mila Mavarchin Kacha, that you make this bracha at the Mila, the day of the Mila. Veha Inya, here's the idea. She Yadua,
everybody knows.
She Eino Roy Levarech Esa Adam, Elimein Berchaso, Shebercha Hashem Adko. It's not appropriate to give a bracha to a person unless it's Me'ain, it's coming from, it's already part of some of the bracha that this person already has from Hashem. What's he talking about? So let's take a step back for a minute. So everybody probably knows there's a minig, a din of sorts, to leave a piece of your challah on the table when you bench. That goes back to the idea that bracha needs a bracha starter. When you want to light a fire, you need a starter. So when you have bracha, bracha needs a starter. There's no such thing as bracha yesh me'ayin. Bracha needs a starter. So therefore, you always leave something for bracha to be challah, and the bracha can expand. Bracha means multiplicity. That's what it means. It means expansion. Therefore, it has to have something to start on. So it says in the Netziv, bracha is always like that. So if you give a bracha to a person, you see how he says it, l'ashir v'ashro v'lechacham v'chacham aso. If you have a person that already has some money, so you say, you give him bracha in his possession. He has to have something. And if you have a person that's a chacham, so you give him bracha in his chachma. But if a person mamash has no chachma, how do you give him a bracha for chachma? If he has nothing, he's so poor, he has nothing, how can you give him a bracha in wealth? It doesn't work like that. Because after he references this as well in his Peirush and Chumash, the Apasik in Devarim, which is a little bit of a remez, but that's what it is. Vimkein. In Roi Levarich Lemisha, Eino Osek Batara, Shiyah Kefrayim. How could you give a bracha to a person that doesn't learn that he should be like Ephraim? Again, what's he assuming now? That Ephraim and Menashe, like you see in the Midrashim, Ephraim was the one that was learning with Yaakov Avinu, he was involved in Torah, and Menashe was involved in the government, he was the one that was going back and forth with the brothers, so they had these two different rules. So how could you give a bracha to a person that doesn't learn that he should be like Ephraim? If a person's not involved in the world, how could you give him a bracha? He should be like Menashe. Avol b'shas mila. But at the time of the bris mila, the kid's only 8 days old. The loy noida adayin es aderach shayelech bo. Nobody knows what the child's gonna turn into. Az yivarech Yisrael yisimcha lekin keEfrayim v'chim Menashe. Im yeh osik b'Torah, if you're gonna be a learner, yatzliach kamoyu v'chim Menashe. Im yeh osik v'yosa olam yiyachim Menashe. These are the two brachas, depending on what he turns out to be. This is the bracha that he should have. So, that's what he seems to say, right? That's what he seems to say. That's how you can give both. That's how you can give both. They may be mutually exclusive. Next.
So if that's the case, why is he going separate alone?
What do you mean?
Because right, if you're going there, one is the learner and one is the earner, if you will, right? So you go to separate alone instead of private national.
You mean there's a different model?
No, same, right? Well, so you're saying that Menashe and Ephraim are one is learning Torah, one is running
right.
business. So why
drop
a generation? Why not
take
a generation above?
Right. Good. Okay, good. So there is more to it than that we'll discuss, but at least in terms of the Yom HaMila, that's what the Netziv is adding. The Netziv is not answering that question. The Netziv is answering why it's B'davka B'Yom HaMila. What is the Inyan of Ephraim Menashe? So here's a few ideas. I'm sure there are more, but these are ones that I found written up. The Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav writes like this. This is the next Makor, Chidush HaGreis. Zerach Biur Maya Bracha B'chay Yivarech Yisok Ephraim Chanashe. So he quotes from the Beis Halevi. Tehinei Kol HaShvatim Gidlu V'Yishchancho Abir Ke Yaakov. The only people that were in Mitzrayim. Right, that's what everyone was saying before. The only ones that grew up in Mitzrayim were Ephraim and Menashe. V'lo Oed Elish Gidlu V'Eretz Mitzrayim Mokom HaTuma Shal Avayit Zara Gili Arayis Kidisa B'Chazal. Right, when it was Makas B'Choyres. So it wasn't just one B'Chor in every household. Sometimes B'Chor had several B'Chor. Some households had several B'Chorim. That wasn't B'Chor. Okay, whatever. Anyway. And despite all of that, Ephraim and Asher were zoche to become shvatim. That's our bracha to our children. That they should never be negatively impacted and influenced by their surroundings. Whatever it may be. They're mamish, like the ultimate people that grew up in the deepest tumah and turned out not only to be okay, but turned out to be shvatim. So that's like a very powerful bracha and repel angle on it. Listen to this. The Minchas Yitzchak, so he says that he saw in the name of the Oilalis Ephraim, Sheperish Mechazal, so Mipnei Ma Ein Tamir Chacham Mitzian Letzeis Mipneiam Tamir Chachamim. Sometimes you have a situation where a Tamir Chacham's children don't turn out to be Tamir Chachamim. Mipnei Shleberchu Batara Tchila. So he references this idea that we know from Tisha B'Av, that the reason why Eretz Yisrael and Gullus and these kinds of things, they didn't berchu b'Torah t'chila. Now you have to admit, that's a funny order of words, right? Shlo berchu b'Torah t'chila. Is that a funny way to say it?
How would you say it?
Shlo berchu berchas ha-Torah, shlo berchu ha-bracha. This is my own ha-ara, yeah? V'chal v'savat v'irachta, right? The bracha you're supposed to make after eating is at the end. Berachas Torah is at the beginning. You never be full from Torah. Right? There's no such thing as full from Torah. Right? So, but in any case, Shelo Berachu B'Torah Tchila, they didn't say Berachas Torah. Of course it's Tchila. There is no Bracha Chrono of Torah. Of course it's Bracha.
The Rav never made it see him.
He's never done. Yeah. I'm almost done with that. I got through a lot of it.
But you have to say it again every morning, though.
Yeah, every day is considered a new day. You're even a new person every day.
But it didn't end.
Didn't it? It's a new bracha for the new day. Ki ha'oyev Torah mevarech livnoi techila ha'ikar shi ha'tamen chacham v'tzadik. If you have a person that really loves Torah, so the bracha that he begins to his child, even if he's giving him several brachas in a row, but the first one is his the ikar. So he gives him the bracha first that he should be a tamen chacham, he should be a tzadik. Ach im ein kemach in Torah, but obviously, you know, if a person only learns and he doesn't have a source of parnasa, that's a disaster. He's going to end up not being able to learn. So you have to have him in kemach in Torah. So that then comes the next bracha. You also have to be an usher, he says. Why an usher? Parnasasa yeber revach. That his parnasa should be not just a little something that's going to take him away, but something that he's able to be free to learn. But if a person doesn't love Torah, mevarech techila livnoi, she usher. First he says, he should be rich. And he should also learn. He says, tchila. That's what it means. Hello, berach b'Torah, tchila.
Torah
umada. Yeah, Torah uparnasa. Torah im derech eretz. That the focus, the ikar, is the Torah, and everything else is in kamach in Torah. But the ikar has to be that's what he always learns. Leberach b'Torah tchila. Not the bracha rishona on Torah, but that the ikar wasn't Torah. Shane Baruch Mavayim Tchila B'Torah. V'zeh Pirish Aksav Sofer, and that's what the Aksav Sofer says is going on in this bracha as well. Yisim Chalakim Kefrayim V'chim Menashe. Right? You know where this is going now, right? Kefrayim V'chim Menashe. V'yasem Esefrayim Lifnei Menashe. That bracha has to be so also something for us to think about whenever we give the bracha that should be, you know, in that way. V'chein, I underline this part. Hakavana V'yasim Chalakim Kefrayim V'chim Menashe. We'll make what Eli said. Sheyu Bivno Shneiyam Yachad. That they should be together, Ephraim and Menashe, not distinct. But he learns they should be together. Like Al-Shech was saying, that it's a unity here. Avol, but, Tanayachar Yesh Bazeh, there's a condition that they should go together. Shetzarech Liyos, Torah Say Ikar. The Ikar is the Torah, and then Menashe comes on the coattails of it. And the Mishnah Sachir, so he says, I saw in the Sefer Damesek Eliezer, Shehevi B'Shem Aran, and Mamaram Shek. Befarish asakra, b'chol yivarech Yisrael, yisim chalakim chayim menashe, the kavana bazeh, the kol bar Yisrael, yuchol ilmai derech musar, miyosef atzadik, eich legadol banav, how to raise children, you can learn from here too. Dihine nisayon gadol hayilesef atzadik, let's go back to Mitzrayim. How do you raise your children in Mitzrayim? Dehaya b'yadol legadol banav b'chachmas Mitzrayim, v'lasa sasam, sorry, money. Bottom line, his angle on it is, that you could imagine a person in a position like Yosef in Mitzrayim, he probably wants his children to be respected. He wants his children to become machers in Mitzrayim, and not somebody that learns and that everybody, you know, shuns because he's one of these guys in Kollel. He wants his... So the fact that Yosef was able to have such a perspective that he just, listen, you learn. They'll become what they become, you know, however they become it. But he didn't try to push something that was taking them away from the Torah. That's how he learns. Because a lot of times, to put a person in a position of politics sometimes comes with all kinds of ways that you need to get yourself ahead. And when you're getting yourself ahead, it has a lot of negativity involved in it. Anyway, so that's another thing that he mentioned over here. And in that, along those lines, he answers another question. And he says, how come it says, Bayomahu? Why did Yaakov give him the bracha Bayomahu? What's that supposed to be merames to? He says, Hainu shabirchem sheyavoyu lemidas bitachon sheloyu lachem dagas machar. Because the idea of bitachon is, don't worry. Will they be leadership positions? Will they be, you know, rich people? Will they be whatever? They'll be whatever they're going to be. But you got to learn. The ikar, the focus is on the learning, and you don't have to worry about everything else.
I mean, you get that from Bayoy Hahu. I thought maybe just focus on
the focus is on that day. What's today? Today you got to learn. What's going to be? What's going to be? Bitachon. So that's what he says. That's the Bayoy Hahu.
That's right.
Okay, and he says more about that. Fine. So now, next. The Igra de Kala, which is the B'nai Yisaskar's Perish, the Chumash, which is awesome, so we'll come back to him in a minute as well, but he says that Ephraim and Menashe also had very important midos to them. That Ephraim was also a person that was very successful, but a tremendous anav. And Yaakov felt that he could put him at the forefront, and he wouldn't be a balgaiva because of it. And at the same time, the incredible midah of Menashe was that he didn't have kina from Ephraim. Even though they were both involved in very different things, and even though Yaakovinu was giving Ephraim the bracha before Menashe, nonetheless, Yaakov says, the midah of Anava that I see in Ephraim is incredibly critical, as well as the midah that I see in Menashe, which is the midah of the lacking of kinah. So some say that may even be involved in the tikkun of the brothers coming down to Mitzrayim because of all of this, that the anivus to say, maybe there's another opinion, and the lack of kinah. That this is like, everything's come full circle. Yeah, everything's come full circle.
Yosef, how he fixed what was lacking in the Shvat.
Right.
At the same time where you're saying to the Shvat, and look at Ephraim and Menashe.
Right. So in terms of the bracha to Banim, we finally found Banim that are interacting in the proper way with Ephraim and Menashe. Now, we're going to finish with this. What is going on with Shabbos? Why should this bracha be unique to Shabbos? So the Piskei Tshuva is right. I underline this Nakuda here. Shabbos obviously is a very special time, and it's a time where there's a certain Hashras HaShechina in the world, and because there's a real difference. This is when we talk about Hanukkah time, that Rabbi Akiva turned his office. That Rabbi Akiva is trying to convince turn his office that Shabbos is a thing. There's something called Shabbos. And the only way he tried to prove it to him, if you remember, was the smoke coming up from his father's grave, oh, but not on Shabbos. It's a real thing. There's Ruchnias on Shabbos. There's Ashras Ashkina on Shabbos. It's a real thing. That
this brother, sorry,
yes, that's also true. Maybe because they're connected, Shabbat Shabbosom, yeah. Perhaps.
Not in regular Yantzim.
No. You can always give a bracha. Rashi says, you ever give a bracha? But there's no meaning like that, I don't think. So he says, Sha'az Chal HaShefa, there's incredible influence coming to the world spiritually. V'tzinoreis HaBrachais, all of the pipelines of bracha are open at that time. On Leil Shabbos. Vein Satan, Vein Pegarashi, Katregal HaBracha. There is nothing to protest or to go against bracha that is given on at least Leil Shabbos, maybe all of Shabbos. That's what the Piskei Tshuvos writes. And he says, Al Pi Kabbalas Arizal, you should know that there is a Sod Gadol, Lenashek Yedei Imo, Be'es Ratzon Zeh, to kiss your mother's hand. Anybody do that growing up?
It's a Sephardi
minute. Sephardi minute? They kiss everybody's hands. But there's apparently a real inyan. Now, Al Pi Kabbalah, you can begin to understand that Shabbos has to do with Hashras HaShchina. Shchina is Malchus, it's the most feminine aspect of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It is Lashon Nekeva, Shchina. And so the mother represents the Shechina in our lives. She's the one that produces us, the realities of the world. Shabbos
Malchus. Shabbos is also Makar Bracha, Bokash Misam Ruchnias, which is where you can start off with the Bracha of giving Ephraim
Menashe. So we'll get to that also in a minute. So that's where this minute comes from, he says. That's what he writes. And in case you're nervous, in the next line, the Piskei Tshuvos, so he writes, you shouldn't think that it's a problem of asking for bakashos on Shabbos. This is not a bakasha, it's a bracha. And you look for the positives. That's what brachas are always about. And it shouldn't lead to a person to be upset or depressed. So therefore, it's not a problem of bakasha on Shabbos. How did it end up on Leil Shabbos? So this Shabbos, he gives like a very pashut thing. And he thinks it all comes from kissing your mother's hand. How can you kiss your mother's hand if she didn't like say anything to you? So she would give a bracha. So I'm giving a bracha. That's like a very poshut way of looking at it, but I would like to finish.
So should be the mother and the father giving the bracha?
So there is, many people have the meaning, both the mother and the father give the bracha. He would claim that it really essentially comes from the mother because you're supposed to kiss her hand. And so she would give the bracha. And then, you can't leave Tati. Tati's got to give a bracha too. So I don't know.
So it's not following Yaakov and giving a bracha.
Right.
You've seen mother?
Yeah, I've been to places like that, sure. Not like feminist places, like, you know. So I want to finish with this. This I think is absolutely unbelievable. The Bnei Aslasar again in his Igra de Kama. So he writes, Yesh Lefarish Ode, Ko Sivarchus Bnei Yisrael. He's talking about Birchas Kohanim. And in the context of Birchas Kohanim, again, let me preface this. The source for this bracha is a machlokus we saw between Mepharshim. If Bracha is a reference to Yosef, or it's a unity of Ephraim and Manasseh. But all the Pashtunim say that it's a reference to Yosef. Because when you bless the kids, you're blessing the father. So the Bnei Yisrael writes, Memela, whenever there's a bracha that the Kohanim are giving, are the Kohanim getting the bracha? Are the Kohanim getting bracha from Hashem? Are they giving the bracha? They don't get a bracha. Classic Kasha and Berachas Kohanim. If they're giving bracha, how do they get bracha? So the Pasuk may be saying that they get bracha as well. He has this very cryptic line where he says, so whenever there is a bracha that's given to Klal Yisrael, so the bracha is for the aim habanim. The aim habanim. V'havein, you should understand this. V'zesh kasav koi, and he quotes from the Zayar HaKadosh, koi sivarchu es, rotzo leimar im b'nei Yisrael. Koi sivarchu im b'nei Yisrael. Ko is a reference to Shechina. You're blessing the Shechina along with Klal Yisrael. Why? Because when you bench the children, you bench the father, or in this case, the mother. So when you're benching the children, you're benching the mother. So
it's not just for boys.
No, applies to everybody because it's all the same. So it comes out according to this unbelievable pshat that on Shabbos when we're giving bracha to the children, we're giving bracha to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, of course, are just the subset of Avinu Shabashamayim, and our mother, the Shechina. Memela, it's bracha to the Shechina on Shabbos by giving the bracha to the children. What would you rather have? That you should have a bracha or your children should have the bracha? Every parent says, I want my children to have the bracha. That's a bracha to me that my children should have. They should have the bracha. So Kaddish Baruch Hu says, I want the children to have. That's a bracha to me when the children have. So he takes this so seriously that the next Marimoku, last Marimoku, the sheet, so he has a kasha on himself. When Yishmael, the Kohen Gadol, goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he sees a Kaddish Baruch Hu, see how Kaddish Baruch Hu says, Yishmael b'ni barcheini. And what does he say? That your rachamim should overcome your kas. And he says, I don't understand. He should have given a bracha to Klal Yisrael. He has a cash. So he has a teretz to that. He has a teretz. That's how seriously.
That is the bracha to
So he thinks it's not something. He thinks if you're talking to Kaddish Baruch Hu, so then you have to give a bracha to Kaddish Baruch Hu, you know? But my point is that it was such a necessary idea that the way you give bracha to Kaddish Baruch Hu is by giving bracha to Klal Yisrael. That's how much we love Klal Yisrael. That's a bracha to Hashem. So that's how seriously he took it. So I just wanted to finish with this final ha'ara. So that's what's going on Friday night Bedafka. Perhaps this is the explanation of the minig. That the whole concept of Shabbos is Hashras HaShechina, is bracha of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in the world. The overflowing of Shechina to the world. So how do we tap into that? By giving bracha to the children. Because when you bless the children, you're blessing the Father. What's the source for that? The bracha of the children for the Father. This is the bracha on the children for the Father. That's where you see it. Yaakov gives a bracha to all the Shvatim. But Yosef, that's where he gives the bracha to the children. Yisim chalakim, kefraim, mechim, and asher. And that's the bracha we do on Shabbos. We give the bracha to the children to give the bracha to Avinu shel Bashamayim to the Shechina.